Good morning. We read a great deal about God's omnipresence. God is everywhere present, all presence. And we are the children of God. God consciousness individualized, an individualized center of God consciousness. We read that God is infinite individual being. But this morning, it has become clear to me that this is not the truth. This is not the truth unless there is a specific act of consciousness that brings this about. How do I know? I have only to turn on the nightly news or pick up a newspaper. I have only to listen to the rumors of what's going on in my neighborhood. God is not omnipresent in this world, the world that you see, hear, taste, touch, smell, and think. In fact, God's not in this world at all. And those that inhabit this world are not the children of God. How is it possible for a child of God, a good church-going, or you could say temple-going or mosque-going person, to be murdered in their sleep for a few pieces of jewelry? How is it possible for the child of God to be struck down in the prime of life with a debilitating disease, such as lupus or leukemia or cancer or type 1 diabetes? Where is God while these things are going on, if God is omnipresent? Why isn't God there? Or to put it in the way that it has been asked repeatedly down through the ages, how can God allow these things to happen? Christ Jesus gave us the answers, if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. In fact, Moses gave us the answers. Way back in the book of Genesis, and it's imperative, really, that we find these answers, or otherwise, how can we love God if we believe that God is somehow responsible, or that God is omnipresent some of the time, and some of the time He's absent? you could sum up the entire infinite way into a couple of sentences, it would be something like, of yourself you are nothing. Make the contact with God, with the Spirit of God, and let it flow. And really, that would sum up the whole thing. Now, making that contact is not a mental exercise. If you repeat to yourself, God is omnipresent, God is omnipresent, God is omnipresent, you can still be one of these people struck down in the prime of life. Because that's only a mental exercise, and although it may bring a feeling of peace, that's not the same as the actual conscious awareness, the actual contact. Unless you have the conscious awareness, unless you make the actual contact with spirit, then you're going to be walking in the flesh. And we really have two choices: to walk in the flesh, to walk after the flesh, or to walk in the spirit, the conscious awareness of spirit. And it's the same truth expressed throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now, in Genesis, we are told in the first book of Genesis that infinite divine pure consciousness manifested itself. Spirit. Consciousness and spirit I see as one and the same. So infinite divine consciousness, or the Spirit of God, manifested itself. And it was very good. In fact, it was perfect. And whenever God consciousness, whenever spirit flows into expression, we find harmony and love and peace and joy, fulfillment, abundance, every good and perfect gift. And that is what was called the Garden of Eden, or a perfect conscious awareness of the Spirit of God. Then we come to the second chapter of Genesis, and here we have the Lord God, or the world mind. And world mind, when it expresses as good and evil, because it contains the knowledge of good and evil, or the belief in good and evil. And so when mind manifests itself, when the human mind manifests itself, it manifests the world mind, duality. And so we have good today and bad tomorrow, and health today and sickness tomorrow, and wealth today and lack tomorrow, fulfillment today and limitation tomorrow. We have a world constantly flowing back and forth between the pairs of opposites. And so the spiritual path, or the spiritual journey, is not a journey in space or a journey in time. It's a journey from mind to consciousness, from flesh to spirit. It's a transition within your being. And that's all that it is. It's a dying to all that is of the mind, or the flesh, or the belief in two powers. It's awakening to all that is of the consciousness, or of consciousness, of spirit, which is divine, spiritual, eternal, and immortal, and one. Do you see how this is an internal experience, and everything written in the Bible is for an assistance so that we can see the direction we should be moving in and do it? I want to point out a couple of things that Paul had to say about this transition. In Romans chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now that's about as plain as you can get it. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And so, elsewhere it states that the law came from Moses, but grace and truth from Christ Jesus. And so here we see, if we have eyes to see, and we hear, if we have ears to hear, that living by the Spirit, which was in Christ, we no longer walk after the flesh, or the second chapter of Genesis. Now we walk after the Spirit, or the first chapter of Genesis. And by walking after the Spirit of life in Christ, we are made free from the law, or the belief in good and evil. What that means is this. You have two choices. We all have two choices. Me too. Everyone. We can either walk around as a man or a woman, being directed in our day-to-day affairs by the human mind, by our best reasoning, our best thinking, and we can build the very best life that we know based on our thoughts. And these can be good thoughts. They can be thoughts of benevolence and thoughts of charity and thoughts of how to improve a suffering world and thoughts of how to improve individuals' lives, how to heal disease, and thoughts of how to bring peace to war-torn nations. Good thoughts. And what are we going to reap living by that mind of good thoughts? We are going to reap a world of good and evil. We are trying to change the evil into good. And so we're living out from that mind, and that mind is going to manifest what it ever has. It's going to manifest exactly what manifested in the second chapter of Genesis, which is a world outside of the garden, a world of good and evil, the world we started with in this talk today, a world where anything can happen at any time. Evil can come sneaking up upon you, even if you've done only good. Why? Because you still have the belief in good and evil. You don't have to sow evil to get evil. Oh no. you can be going right along sowing the good. But because you believe that your good will change evil into good, you've opened the door to both of them. You're living by the mind, the human mind. And the human mind is the world mind. The human mind with thoughts of good or evil is the world mind. When you hear it up here, you think it's your own mind. It's not. It's not. It's a belief in good and evil chattering away. And so you make your decisions based on that mind, and you manifest a perfect demonstration of the second chapter of Genesis, or what Paul called corruption. And you do this age after age after age, never getting free from that law. Really, what is the law? The law is what you sow, you reap. And so if you sow according to that mind, that human mind, you're going to manifest that limitation, that lack. Oh yes, for a while you may enjoy peace and wealth and health, but you know very well it's going to come to an end. It has to, because it's the second chapter of Genesis. Now listen to Paul when he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." And so he's telling us, we have the opportunity to make the transition, to stop living life out from the human mind, which manifests as a material universe. If we're living out of the human mind, we are an instrument for world mind to manifest as a material universe. We are standing in the second chapter of Genesis. But here, this man Paul, which was a murderer, so he definitely stood in this same material universe, he is telling us there's a way to come out of that. And that is if the Spirit of God dwells in you. That which Joel called making the contact. And furthermore, he goes on to say, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, well, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Which is Paul's way of saying that when that Spirit of God dwells in you, it will raise up your mortal body, whether the body of your vehicle that you walk around in, whether the body of your business, it will raise up your universe so that you find yourself dwelling in a new kingdom, in something called the Garden of Eden, in something called consciousness, pure consciousness manifested. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you see, that's where we started. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Who? Who are the children of God? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. If you make contact with that Spirit of God, with God consciousness, then you are the children of God. Because then you live by a new mind, really, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. You live by the Spirit, and not by the human mind. And so you're no longer an instrument for world thought to manifest as a material creation. You are coming out of that. Now, you are an instrument for spirit to manifest its perfect kingdom, for pure spiritual consciousness to manifest as every good and perfect gift. And you haven't gone anywhere. You've just made the transition within your being. And he says, if you're children of God, which is you're being led by that spirit, by that contact, you're an instrument for that spirit, then you are an heir of God and joint heir with Christ to all the heavenly riches. Now, Paul has made it pretty plain that we need to make this inner transition. And Joel has made it very plain that unless you make this contact, you're just a human being. But in making this contact, God itself manifests. How many times has he told us in the writings that the purpose of meditation is to make this contact? How many times has he told us that it may be necessary to repeat a scripture or contemplate a scripture or a truth in order to become calm enough to make the contact? How many times, probably thousands of times, has he told us that he can't even heal a headache? But when he becomes so still that he becomes a transparency for spirit to flow, is there a healing, which is really a revealing or a transformation? You see, all those times that he became still, he became a transparency for that pure spiritual consciousness to manifest as the perfect creation. He discovered how to come out from the mortal mind that manifests as corruption and into that still quiet place where consciousness manifests as every good and perfect gift. So making that contact is really the whole thing. Now look at John's take on this. It's really quite beautiful. John says, in the beginning, and now of course he's referring to the first chapter of Genesis, which is pure consciousness itself manifested. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is pure spiritual consciousness. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. It means that pure spiritual consciousness made all things, or manifested as every good and perfect gift. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so he's telling us that the second chapter of Genesis, where things appear to be good and evil, young and old, fat and thin, healthy and sick, wealthy and poor, that was not made. It wasn't made. It's a mental image. A lot of mental images appearing as good and evil. But he's going to say something about coming up out of that. In him, that is in God, in this pure spiritual consciousness, was the life, and the life was the light of men. And this light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That means this pure spiritual consciousness shines at all times, but the human mind does not comprehend it. It can't shine into the human mind. This pure spiritual consciousness can never shine, this light can never shine into the human mind, because the human mind is a divided consciousness. It sees good and evil. And it cannot behold, well, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. And so the human mind can never comprehend this light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And this light, this pure spiritual consciousness, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Of course, if that light walked up to the man in the street, or the woman in the street, or even the child in the playground, who lived in and through this human mind, which is the world mind, it could not comprehend that light. How can two behold one? It cannot happen. And so this light came unto its own, and its own received him not. But, and here is the direction for us to make the transition, as many as received him, or as many as made contact with that spirit, or as many as received that pure spiritual consciousness within, to them, to those that do this, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so you are given the power to become the sons of God. How? By receiving that spirit, by making contact. What Paul called being led by the Spirit makes you a child of God, the son of God, the children of God. And when you are the children of God, you have made that transition within. You are no longer living by world thought, by human thought, which manifests as a sick material creation or a sick material body. No. If you've made that contact and are making that contact and are led by the Spirit, then John says, you are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You see, you are no longer an instrument for the human mind to manifest as a divided universe. Nor of the will of man. No, you are born of God. You see that? John is telling us clearly how to make the transition from being one who is an instrument for the world mind, acting as a human mind, and manifesting this material creation, this material false creation in which anything can happen. He tells you that if you receive this spirit, then you're born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. In other words, you have become the son of God, the child of God. Now you are a transparency, an instrument for infinite pure consciousness to manifest its perfect kingdom here and now. All right, now, with Paul as our guide, and John as our guide, and Joel as our guide, how do we make that transition? How do we put off that mortality and put on our immortality? How do we change from being a human being? Where the world mind acting through our human mind tells us that we're 53 years old or 35 years old. We're a male or a female. We have some good kids and some bad kids, or perhaps some good grandchildren and some bad grandchildren, some good neighbors and some bad neighbors. There are good nations and bad nations. There are good economies and bad economies. There is wealth and lack and health and sickness and life and death. How do we come out of that universe, which is the world mind manifesting as a material universe, appearing as a material universe? How do we come out of that mind and into the conscious awareness of spirit, manifesting its pure spiritual kingdom, in which there is one life, one body, one mind, and that one perfect in the image of God? That is what the spiritual path is, that inner transformation, which we can do now, start today, or we can put it off until a later time when maybe tragedy has struck us and we're struck with the question deeply, what is life all about? Because make no mistake about it, if you put it off and don't do it today, then you are living in the fleshly mind, and tragedy will come. It always comes, and that's your opportunity to awaken. But if we've decided to do this today, how do we do it? How do we make this transition, this inner shift? Well, Joel tells us that we must make the contact. There is no other way. And he was gracious enough to forge this whole path for us so that we could follow. And he directed us to start with practicing the presence. And he made it very specific that we are to remember throughout our day God. Before we go out the door, remember God. When we first wake up in the morning, remember God. When we sit down to eat, remember God. When we get behind the wheel of our car, remember God. Before we walk into the office, remember God. Do you remember? And then to that he added contemplation, taking a scripture or a truth and sitting down with it for 5 or 10 minutes or 15, contemplating that, which he said would gradually lead us to a brief period of meditation. These are the steps that he laid before us, the tools he laid before us to begin to make this transition. And in the first degree, we pick up these tools and start to use them. Now, I started yesterday, the day before, I started a series of talks called The 3 Degrees of the Spiritual Path. They are, well, I would like to call them the 3 Degrees of the Infinite Way, but there are people and copyrights and things now, and that can no longer be done. So we'll just call them the 3 Degrees or the 3 Stages of the Spiritual Path. And there is a first stage, a first degree. There's a second stage, a second degree, and a third stage, a third degree. And gradually, you move, you make this transition from a human being living by the human mind, by world mind, which feeds the human mind, you gradually make the transition to that one that has their being in Christ and has the conscious awareness of being led by the Spirit and has the conscious awareness of being the child of God. So we're going to go into that in more detail in those talks. And I started them, I don't know if there's going to be 3, 4, 5, or even more. But I started them and have the first one just about finished. But I'm going to release them all at the same time. Now, back to this talk. If we have practiced the presence and we have practiced the art of meditation, something within us is opening up. And that something is the ability to make this contact, to have the conscious awareness of the Spirit of God upon us, or in us, or through us. And this is an actual conscious awareness. If you do not have this awareness, you are still what what Christ called the walking dead. You are dead to this spirit. You do not have the awareness to it. Now, if you have jumped into this spiritual path and are trying to be led by the Spirit and trying to have a conscious awareness of the Spirit, or the awareness of this pure divine consciousness, if you're trying to receive impartations from it, but you haven't built a foundation yet, your house is going to crumble. It's not going to work. At best, you may delude yourself into thinking you're being led by the Spirit, and you're not. But then you'll pay those prices, and you'll have to get honest and say, I thought that was God, but it was me. It was ego, it was world thought. So now what did I miss? Then perhaps you can pick up these talks which I'm going to make, and you can find out where you are, and go back there, and build that foundation. Because it's a natural progression from one state, from one degree to another. Which, when you follow, not jump around, but follow it, in that natural order, you will be gradually led to that transition within you. Which was the reason that Joel spent however many years he did, 35 years or whatever it was, so that anybody coming to the Infinite Way would be led gradually from a human being to a spiritual being, to that one who has their being in Christ and Christ in them. So, again, in order to make the transition, we must make the contact. Now, this is what that means. In our meditation, when the human mind comes to become still, not necessarily completely still, but still enough to be off there somewhere in the background where we're not paying attention to it, and it's not directing us. When we have reached our place in meditation where we can become quiet and still to that, we develop. I say develop because this takes years. You can't do this right off unless you've done this before somewhere. We develop the capacity to listen, to be receptive. We discover things. We discover that prayer is not anything that we think or say or know in the mind. We discover that Paul was right when he said, we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit makes intercession. That's Paul's way of saying he has discovered, if he is still, if he admits he doesn't know what to pray for,
and he is quiet, if he admits, like Joel did, that I can't even heal a headache, I know not what to pray for, and he is still, in this way, and it may take several times, it may take months or even years, but in this way, we develop the capacity to be receptive to that Spirit which makes intercession. We are told repeatedly that we must become so still that we can stand there as a witness or a beholder as the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. What does that mean? It means, and listen very carefully here, it means through the process of practicing the presence and meditation, and through the process of having fellowship with people that are living by the Spirit, through all of these things, we develop the ability to be still, to stand there as a witness or a beholder, not doing anything physically and not doing anything mentally, just standing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Spirit. We develop the capacity to be still and to watch as awareness flows forth from that pure spiritual consciousness. The stone is awareness. The rock, the stone, is awareness, or Christ. And that flows forth from the mountain, from consciousness, without hands or by my Spirit. When we stand there and witness consciousness through the Spirit as awareness of the living Christ in our midst, we have become the child of God, and not before then. Now, when we become the child of God, when we are born again in this fashion, we continue to practice these periods of making contact in that way that we have just outlined. And this develops in us something called the mind which was in Christ Jesus, which means the capacity to do this everywhere and almost every when, anytime that we will. This is an actual capacity that becomes a living part of your withinness. When this happens, you are most definitely the child of God, and now you live by the impartations you receive, or the awareness that bubbles up from pure divine consciousness. You live by that which is the mind which is in Christ. Now you have it. It's yours. Now you become an instrument through which pure divine consciousness manifests itself as every good and perfect gift. You become an instrument for the kingdom to manifest. And the old mortal mind which manifested the dual universe of matter, starts to dissolve around you, because it never was eternal. It always was, well, the illusion of the second chapter of Genesis. And so, as a child of God, you begin to practice this on a daily basis. Several times, we are told. We are told to practice this 12 times a day for 1 or 2 minutes. Why? Because we're not sitting down. Listen, please. We are not sitting down to have an hour-long meditation in which we can have an earth-shattering awakening and walk as Christ on earth forever. No. We are sitting down and having these short periods because it is in these short periods that we develop the capacity to stand fast, to be a witness of the Spirit flowing, to be a witness of the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, to be a witness as awareness bubbles up from pure divine consciousness, and that awareness manifests itself. We develop the capacity to listen to the mind which was in Christ Jesus, to be receptive. And all of this, of course, is part of the second degree. But we will also get into that in detail. Now, as we continue to practice this, and we are told it's anywhere from 2 to 22 years, there is a final shift within. And in this final shift, we no longer live by the world mind flowing as the human mind and manifesting a corporeal universe. Something has taken place within us over these years of being receptive to the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Because we begin to have the wonderful experience, the joyful discovery, that infinite, divine, pure consciousness flowing through consciousness manifests itself without any effort whatsoever on our part. It just flows. We discover it lives itself as itself, as us. We make the most fantastic discovery that pure divine consciousness flows as our awareness and manifests the perfect kingdom, not only for us, but for anyone reaching out to us. It manifests that perfect Garden of Eden. And now it lives itself as us, through us, in us. We have made the transition from the second chapter of Genesis to the Garden of Eden. We have made that transition from the mortal to the immortal, because that which is living us is immortal, will never die. That which is living us has never been born. That which is living us is our eternal self. It is, in fact, Christ. We have been born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We have now been born of God. We are no longer living by the flesh. We are that Spirit itself. Yes, we have our being in Christ, and Christ in us, for in this universe there is but one. And I within you am now that one. Is God omnipresent? Is God everywhere present? Are we all the children of God? No. No, we're not. But if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, if you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are the child of God. And in your universe, God is omnipresent forever and ever. Amen.